and let's be seated.
Tonight, you'll see Dan and Dina Brown and their family in what they call the Rhine Valley. It's sort of the southern border of Germany and the northern border of Liechtenstein. And you see there that mentions they were back in the States for the month of August. They took a kind of a short little furlough, and they're going to kind of probably do that over the next couple years. They'll go about a year and a half to 2 years and then take a small one-month furlough and then go back. As this new church plant that they're working with, they don't want to be away from it for very long. So they're taking some smaller furloughs, but more often. And so they were excited to be able to come back. You see, they visited 9 different churches and were able to kind of minister there. But they were also able to spend a lot of time with family. We all got to get together. This is my wife Joy's brother and their family, of course. We were able to spend some time with them. And then you see a special note there at the bottom, particularly about their children. Not as many requests about their ministry. It's been a few months since we covered them on a Wednesday night, talking about they work a lot with refugees there in Germany. They almost have 2 separate services. They have a German-speaking service, and then they have an English-speaking service that's mainly geared towards refugees. But most of those refugees don't speak English as a first language. So it's a very multicultural church, of course, and there's a lot of different things going on in their area. So not only do they deal with those different things, but their children do as well. And you see there it says Micah started his 3rd year in school. That would be sort of our 3rd grade. They consider all the way up through 5 years old, kind of preschool. And then in what would be our 1st grade, they say that's their 1st year or 2nd year, 3rd year. So this is sort of his 3rd grade year that he started there. And then you see Kaylee is finishing up. And there in Germany, kids have to go to some school starting at age 3. So she's been in there for a couple years, finishing up her kindergarten time. Kaylee had a lot of trouble with particular girls that were there, mistreated in a lot of different ways. And so she had just struggled socially. She's in a new school this year. They're praising the Lord. She's been much more accepted, and they're praising the Lord for that. And then one huge answer to prayer, you see there, it says that Micah has been given permission to go home. They live in kind of a village-like setting. And he's been given permission to go home 2 hours a day when the school, this is the public school there, is taught their Catholic teachings in their religious classes. Sort of a world religions class and then a Catholic class. It covers about 2 hours in the middle of the day. And so they were really kind of concerned about Micah having to sit through all of that for 2 hours a day, every day, all year long. And so they're praising the Lord. They actually gave them an exemption, and Micah's allowed to go home, takes a Bible class there with his mother and eats lunch and then goes back to school. So they're praising the Lord for that. If you want to write down one thing there at the top, even when they were back in the States and Dan and I got to talk several times for couple hours at a time and different things and sharing their burden about their ministry. The biggest thing that they're praying right now in this next 2-year segment, they would like to see this church kind of become one, whether it's with the refugees and the German side, both kind of become a little bit more unified. And they would like to see a national pastor take over this church. And then from there, whether Dan and Dina move further down into Liechtenstein or onto a different ministry. But if you would, just jot that on there. There's one particular young man that they're praying that they think is leaning and being led that way by God. So they're praying that that will be the case if that's the right decision. And it's a single young man. He has an interest, so they're praying that that works out. He can get married as well and then eventually take over this church here in the next year and a half or so as they've seen it planted through the grace of God.
All right, and we'll look at the names in the box tonight, and a number of them are familiar. Continuing to pray for Brother Roger Wharton, Mary Jackson, Louis Gregory, the family of Irene Wood, and then you may remember Nathaniel Ensley's mom, Edna, will be having cancer surgery this Friday, and so if you would be praying for her. Tony Arona, Joe Brown, waiting for a kidney transplant, Dennis Patterson's brother, Ira Patterson in MCV, and he's going through the process of the bone marrow transplant. And so I think he's had the transplant. Now he's dealing with the after effects of that. I do continue to pray there. Under recovering, William Zenker, and then you'll see Andrew Early. This is the Goodings' nephew, is at home and improving. And then next week is the VAIB meeting. It's hard to believe, all right? But we're really in September now. So VAIB next week, Thursday and Friday. Be praying for that. Awake America, our ODAX efforts to protect our religious exempt daycares, or child care. And then also you'll see Blessed Hope Baptist Church in Burns, Wyoming. And this is Brother Ensley's church there. And as Pastor's been explaining, they've been presented with an opportunity for buildings and property and seeking the Lord's will and direction on that. And so we want to be sure to pray with them about that as they seek direction from the Lord. We want to be praying for the services this Sunday. Pray for a sweet spirit of unity. We don't want to give place to the devil in any way. And so we want to continue to pray for each other, for our elderly and shut-in, for our need for permanent workers, our bus ministry and the faithful workers there in that ministry, our WANA program going on tonight, our school ministry, and our Spanish ministry meeting behind us, and service personnel, Jared Cruz, Alan Mowbray, Joy Hancock, and Joshua DeWayne. You may not know all of them, but I'm sure you know they need prayer. And so we want to remember to pray for each of those as well. In the inside, we'll look at the middle panel. You'll see Ed and Dolores Adams at the Crossings at Hanover, and their address there, and they would appreciate a little encouragement and letting them know that you're thinking of them, praying for them. Tonight, we're praying for our pastor and Karen Dorsey, and our college student this week, Jacob Michael Dorsey. We'll remember to pray for him as well. And our other college students who are getting underway now. And I pray that the Lord would help them to have a good, successful semester. So let's bow our heads, we'll go to the Lord in prayer, and ask the Lord to undertake for each of these. Lord, we do thank you for protecting our region, our church, our ministry, our homes through the latest hurricane. And our hearts are just broken for the families and ministries there in North and South Carolina, some still isolated by the water. And we just pray, Lord, that the waters would recede and the grounds would dry out and people would be able to get back and determine how much of their property they can save and how much they can restore. And we just thank you for what is being done in the area by those who are trying to take care of those that are affected by the disaster. And we just pray that you would continue to grant strength and wisdom and discernment and grace for those who have lost so much. And we pray, Lord, that you would be manifestly evident in the ministries of the churches in that region who are trying to reach out and help. And we pray that you'd be glorified in their efforts. And then, Lord, we do thank you for the work you're doing here in this ministry. We thank you for the fine people that have come together here to worship the Lord together in our church. And we thank you for those who have a great witness in their lives and on the job and in their communities. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help each of us to be a good witness everywhere we go and be aware of the fact that we may be famous and not even know about it. People watching us and monitoring our behavior. Help us to be aware of that at all times and be a good testimony for you. We pray, Lord, that you would give us a sweet spirit of unity. Help us to love one another and care for one another. And certainly now pray for those who've lost loved ones in our midst. And we are grateful that Irene's able to rejoice in heaven tonight and not have to go through any more on this side of life. And we do pray for her family and for broken hearts. But we do pray, Lord, that you would use this as an opportunity to reach those family members that have been heavy on her heart. And then, Lord, we pray for our service tonight. We ask you to speak to our hearts. Pray that the message tonight will speak to every individual heart here and that we'll respond. And we pray, Lord, that you'd be glorified in our services and in our work the remainder of the week. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, we'll ask our men to prepare to receive the offering. And once again, be sure you pay attention to the announcements in the bulletin, especially if you're able to help during the VAIB meeting. If you've not gone to the website and registered, you need to go ahead and do that. There's a special treat for you if you'll go ahead and register. And so go ahead and take care of that. Let them know you plan to attend. Let's ask the Lord's blessing as we receive our offering.
Heavenly Father, we once again come to you with open hearts and open minds, Lord, for what you have prepared for us tonight. We ask that you take our pastor and surround him with your words, your will, your way, protecting from the things that may snare him, and let him preach the word boldly so that it may find lodging in our hearts. Lord, it's already been mentioned here of those that are suffering down in North Carolina and South Carolina, Lord, and as we want to do something and we open up our hearts and we open up our wallets, Lord, we pray that you give each and every one of us discernment and wisdom, that the money will be used appropriately and go to the right causes that will do the most good to help the most people, Lord. We know they're hurting down there, and we're thankful for the fact that we can step into a church building tonight, Lord, and that our property wasn't damaged during the storm and our homes weren't damaged, and we're thankful for that, and we praise you for that, Lord. And Lord, now as we take and we give back just a portion of that which you've given us, Lord, we ask that you take it, that you bless the money, Lord, and that you make it fit to be used in your ministry. And just like you have multiplied so many blessings, Lord, we ask that you multiply the money and then make us be able to do so much with it for your glory. We ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for that. I want you to find your place tonight in the book of James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Let me mention this in regard to our focus tonight on a missionary. I'm not mentioning this particular missionary, but I want you to look at what the request is for their children. Now, we often pray for the missionary, and we pray for the ministry, and we pray for health and safety and all of those things. But I cannot emphasize to you enough the need to pray for missionary children. They go through things that we don't understand. And looking here, Micah, it's a wonderful thing that he's being able to get out of the Catholic education classes in the school. But I can almost tell you on the heels of that, that's going to cause some division between he and his classmates. And there's going to be issues there. You may not understand this. Some of you don't remember it, but years ago, I guess it was 79 or 80, when we went into Ecuador to visit with the Wells, and it was their, it may have been a little earlier than that, it was their first term there. And, you know, we rejoice at what God has done through the years. And when the Wells came off the field, up to date now, there's nearly 30 churches that have been planted. But the devil really threatened that, and he threatened them through their kids. Curry had a horrible time adjusting to the field. In fact, he was just emotionally, he was spent. Mom and Dad determined to bring him back to the States for the summer. He and Greg stayed with us for that summer. And then Curry ended up staying on until he finished high school. I can tell you another missionary that was in Africa and had to come off of the field. His son was very fair-skinned. He was blonde hair. The region that they were serving in, those people had never seen a fair-skinned white person with blonde hair. And one of the things that they were intrigued by is they would reach out to touch him. All of them would. And the ladies, and you know, I guess it's a lady thing because older ladies do that around here too, would reach out and they would pinch him. And the kids would pinch on him. You know, they're wondering, is this real? And it had such a emotional and psychological impact that the missionary had to come off the field. I can give you story after story. I can give you a story of a missionary that we supported for a number of years in Central America. And his children grew up there. And today his son was so hurt on the field by some things that happened on the field that now he claims to be devout atheist and separated, just every divide from his parents. So when we pray for missionaries, we need to make sure that we're praying for the children. We're trying to help you do that. Before long, we're working, and I'm grateful for Joy's work on this. We're contacting all of our missionaries. We're getting some updates on our missionaries, and we're putting together a missions booklet of all the missionaries that we support. We'll have children's ages and names and things like that, and we'll tie it in with several different things, and I think that will help us to be able to get to know them in a little bit better fashion. You got to be very careful. You know, you think, well, we can email them, we can do this, we can do that, and you can with some things, but a lot of our missionaries, and we'll note this in the booklet, a lot of them say, please don't post our letters, and please, if you contact us, don't contact us and use words like ministry and church and how many have saved and this kind of thing, because it can cause them some great difficulty. But we'll try to help each other with that and pray for these two children serving there in Liechtenstein. They didn't receive a call from God. Mom and Dad did, and they're just along for the journey. James chapter 4 tonight, if we're going to be an encouragement, a blessing to others, we need to be able to say that we have a victorious prayer life. A lot of folks will call into our church, or they'll share it with a friend and say, have the church pray, because they know that we'll pray for them. And they have seen God answer prayer amongst our church people. So tonight from James chapter 4, let's begin in verse 1. We'll read 10 verses through this evening, please. And I want you to look for, because it's not, you're not going to see prayer up front, but we'll tie it all in as we move along. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your own lust, that war in your members? Ye lust and ye have not, ye kill and desire to have, and ye cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. And ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your own lust. Strange words here in the very fourth verse, in the midst of all this. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. You don't want to be called that, do you? But continue on. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain that the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy, but he giveth more grace? Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. And here's some actions that you ought to mark in your Bible. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Another action, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Another action, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify ye hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Back up in our early portion of the reading, it said, it gave us a couple of things about our prayer. It talked about how we try to get things, and it says, you have not because you ask not. And then it tells us another failure and a fault in our prayer, and it says, ye ask, and we ask amiss. There's the wrong purpose in that. Now, the disciples had come to the Lord Jesus, and they were going to ask him a question. If you were a disciple, what would you want to ask? Now, I want you to notice they did not ask him how to heal the sick. They didn't ask him how to raise the dead. Can you imagine being there when he blessed and broke the loaves and the fishes? Why didn't the disciples ask him, Lord, how did you do that? There were none of these things that they asked. They didn't ask him how you walk on water. But when the opportunity was given, after watching the ministry of Christ, and not just his ministry, his private life, his personal life with the Heavenly Father, they had seen him pray. They had heard him pray. They watched him as he broke the loaves. And you remember what the scripture said? That he broke it, and he blessed it, and he multiplied it. They had seen him pray. And so when they have the opportunity to ask Christ for something, here's what they ask him for. Lord, teach us to pray. And it's a lot more depth than just teach us the mechanics of it. The mechanics of our heads bowed and our eyes closed and how we address the Heavenly Father and ending in Jesus' name. Those are all mechanical things. But they're looking at Jesus and a sort of paraphrase of Scripture. Lord, we've seen you pray. And we've seen the results of your prayer. And we want to know how to pray like you. We want a prayer life like we see in Jesus. And Jesus had showed them that prayer was central to everything. Through all of his ministry, through all of his life, he's showing them that. Look at number one, if you would, please. If we're going to have prayers that avail much, what does the scripture say? The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now we need to notice that there are three simple steps tonight that we'll look at to a victorious prayer life. Number one is this: we have to avoid forsaken prayer, and we find that in verse 1 and 2. We get sometimes these scriptures tell us that we're striving, and that's our Sunday morning, Sunday school lessons. We're striving together, but it's talking about the needs that we have are coming from strife with each other over what we want. These are good people who are going after life. They're trying to get everything they can, and they're doing it by any means that they can. Look at the things that this passage says that they're doing. And we'll not use the exact words that are in the scripture, but it talks about from whence come wars and fightings among yourselves. So they're fighting, they're scheming, they're planning, they're killing, they're working, they're warring, and they're hating. We see all of those things, all in an effort to get what they want. Does that sound familiar to our world? Yes, I think it does. Now, James is telling them that they lack, they don't have what they want, they don't have maybe what they need, but they don't have because they ask not. They have forsaken prayer. They have left prayer off. There's no problem in your life or my life or the church or our country. There's no problem tonight that exists that effectual, fervent prayer does not have an answer for. God wants us to come before him with everything. Everything that happens in our lives, it can be solved with prayer. I was looking at a story that I heard the other day. A little boy was trying with all of his might to move a very large stone, and his dad sat idly by watching him as he was trying to pick this stone up and move it, and he couldn't move it, and he couldn't move it, and the dad was giving suggestions and telling him what to do, but he wasn't getting involved with it. He was just watching the boys move. And finally, and he's trying to teach him a lesson, object lesson. At the end of it, the father asked him this. He said, have you used everything that you can to move that stone? And the little boy is just wasted physically. All of his strength and energy is gone trying to move this stone. Have you used everything you have? And he said, yes, Dad, I've used everything I have to be able to move this stone. And the dad got up, went over and picked up the stone, and he moved it to where the little boy wanted the stone. And his story to him, his point to him was this: no, you hadn't used everything. All you had to do was ask. Now, how many of us exhaust ourselves trying to get the things that are needful, the things that are necessary, or even the things that are desired, and we don't give them? What does the scripture say? We're not victorious in our prayer. We have not because we ask not. We think we've done everything, but suddenly we find that prayer has become the second resort. The first resort is our power, our strength, our ability. And so we're looking at avoiding that forsaken prayer. Prayerlessness, by the way, is this. Prayerlessness is a sin. It is a sin. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 17. You say it with me if you know it. Pray without. Now, does that mean when you leave here tonight and you get in your car, you buckle your seatbelt, you pull out onto Creighton Road, and you bow your head and you close your eyes and you begin to pray? If you're doing that, let me know. I'm going to wait a few minutes before I leave. Does it mean that tonight you ought to stay awake the whole night? Maybe you should, but does it mean that you 24 hours a day that you're supposed to be in prayer? Pray without ceasing? Listen, if we prayed 24 hours a day, we have no time to serve the Lord. You remember His command to us was to go? Well, if we're constant, now what this means, you say, preacher, are you saying this is wrong in the Bible? What pray without ceasing is talking about is this: be always in the mode to pray. Be always ready to pray. In everything, pray. In every decision of life, pray. And I'm not talking about a one-time prayer. There's a lot of people who face a big decision, and they pray one time, and they expect that one prayer. Pray without ceasing is talking about always in an attitude of prayer. Always having a clean heart. What does the Bible say? If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. So if I have unconfessed sin in my life, I cannot pray without ceasing because there's a barrier between God's hearing and my praying. So pray without ceasing, always in the attitude of prayer. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 says this, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. What does that mean? That word pray. Talk to the Lord about everything. Men ought always to talk to the Lord about everything. To fail to pray, again, I say, is to commit sin. We are creatures of habit with our prayer oftentimes if we listen to ourselves. Just like we'll come into a church service like we do tonight, and you know exactly what to expect in a church service. Your body is tuned into when to stand up, when to sit down, when to pick up your book, when to put it down, what's going to happen next, when the ushers are going to come, when the piano. All of that, we become routine in what we do. Listen to ourselves pray. Oftentimes we have the same routine of prayer all of the time. It becomes a habitual thing. And again, I say to you that prayerlessness is a sin. There is no substitute for a strong prayer life. I remember last week with Brother Williams preaching, and by the way, they made it home yesterday. They left Monday, but they made it yesterday. And it took them almost double the time. But you remember in his message last Wednesday, he talked about public life and private life. There is public prayer and there's private prayer. There is so much that needs to be done in our lives today, in our community today. There's not one person in this auditorium probably who has not complained some about our environment, about our community, about our country, about our world. There are souls that are going to die and go to hell, lost, that need to be saved. How are they going to get to that place? We have to pray and go. There are wayward people that need to be reclaimed. How are we going to reclaim them? pray and go. Remember when Jesus was talking to the disciples and they were amazed at what he had done? And they said, Lord, we've done this, but why couldn't we do it? Why couldn't we accomplish what you accomplished? And he said, there are some things that only occur through prayer and fasting. Lives that need to be changed, a community that needs to be touched. We have to, if we're going to be victorious in prayer, we have to watch for forsaken prayer. And God knew that that was going to be a part of our nature. And that's why he said, and that's why James, under inspiration, wrote those words. And he said, ye have not, because ye ask not. You've forsaken. Look at number two, if you would, please. Not only do we have to be aware of forsaken praying, but we have to avoid foolish praying. There are times when we do things that we pray in ways that the Scripture says we ask amiss. I want to give you an illustration of that tonight. It's a personal illustration, not with me, but it's a personal illustration. I don't think he would mind me sharing with you. Al Tobin. Those of you who were here, or even over at Fellowship when the Tobins were there, and there was, we still have folks that were there with them, you know that Al's mother had a massive stroke. I was with Al when he was pastoring the church in East, and I went up and did a revival service for them 1 week. And we were visiting during the day. We were in the car, and we were talking about praying. We were praying at the time. We were getting ready to pray that God would bless our visitation efforts that day. And we got to talking about prayer, and Al very honestly told me this. He said, I know what it is to pray foolishly. His mother had had a stroke, and he said, here was my prayer. God, let my mother live. And he said, I prayed that for weeks while she was in the hospital in intensive care, touch and go. And he said, that was my prayer. He said, I prayed it over and over. I can't tell you how many times a day. Lord, let my mother live. He said, I didn't pray, Lord, if it's your will. Lord, if she can still serve you in some way. He said, I prayed foolishly and selfishly. All I wanted was for my mother to live. And as you fast forward that, what do you say, preacher, what did he learn? He sat in the car that day and teared up in broken voice. And he said, Donnie, my mother lived for almost 20 years. But she couldn't walk. She couldn't take care of herself. She became miserable in life. And we would do all that we could. And he said, it wasn't until years later in still praying for her, he said, that I realized I was praying foolishly. I was praying selfishly. There are times when we don't pray in an intelligent way. Oftentimes we pray, Lord, not thy will, but mine be done. Because this is what I want. What if God gave you everything you ask for? We could illustrate that tonight. I'll briefly do it, but next week we'll cover it a little bit more as we continue to look at being a blessing through prayer. What if God gave you everything you ask for? Illustrate. What if I gave my grandkids everything they ask for? They were around the other day and Barrett wanted something. I think it was some kind of cereal or something. And he went to his dad and he held it up. And his dad said, no, you can't have that until you have some fruit or you have something that's a healthy choice. Most 2-year-olds understand what healthy choices are. You can't have that until you have some fruit. So he turned around from where his dad was standing, and Sonia was sitting about 4 foot from there. And he went and he plopped the cereal on her and said, "Nana." And she said, "No, you got to listen to your daddy." And then I was sitting another 4 foot from there, and he picked the cereal box up and he came over to my lap. And by the time he got to me, he knew how to turn the eyes on. As if, "Pop, you're my hero." And he put it down on my lap and said, "Pop, cereal." And you know what I had to say? "Not until you eat fruit or something healthy like that." What if all of us gave him the cereal he wanted? He's two, he'd be my size. What if God gave you everything you ask for? Did you realize this? Prayer isn't given to us just to get what we ask for. Prayer is given to us to bring our will and God's will together. James chapter 4, he tells us that being the friend of the world, he used those words, that words adulterer and adulteress. I don't like to be called that. Those are wicked, sinful things. Look at what he's illustrating. And we can imagine tonight, imagine if a man is married to a woman and they're in love and things go well for a while. And after a little while, the wife's eyes begin to move to other people, and she begins to show affection to other people. And suddenly there's a car she wants, and she comes back to her husband and said, "I want you to buy me this car." What do you think he's going to do? I can tell you what he'll do if he's smart. What do you think he's going to do? Now, what James is saying to us here, ye adulterers and adulteresses, in other words, you say you're in love with God, but you're fascinated and living by the world's rules. And you say you're going to do what God has for you, but you're living over here so close to the world. That's like adultery is. Now, when we embrace the world and ignore the Lord, we can forget about having effective prayer. God loves you and He desires to meet your needs, but He expects you to walk with Him in a devoted love relationship. Let's look at number 3, if we can, please. Adopt faithful praying. And we have some suggestions here tonight together for us. If we're going to avoid forsaken prayer, and we're going to be aware of foolish praying after what we want and our desires, we're going to learn to pray prayers that are heard in heaven. There's some suggestions. Look at verse number 5. We need to be sensitive. Sensitive to what? The Holy Spirit of God in our heart. He has strong desires and He's very jealous to get glory for God. What's the ministry of the Holy Spirit in us? The main ministry of the Holy Spirit is to bring glory to God. Now, it's an amazing thing when you stop and think that at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell within us. And while He is within us, His purpose doesn't change. His purpose is to draw glory to our Heavenly Father. Be sensitive. The Spirit desires not glory for Himself or glory for you. He desires that glory for the Lord. So He knows the mind of God. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, verse number 11. "For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man, which is in him?" That, again, that goes back to what Brother Rick was talking about last week, the public side of life and the private side of life, of things in life that you don't know. "Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God." And so we're given the presence of the Holy Spirit in us at salvation, and there's some things that only the Holy Spirit knows. So as we get ready to pray, be sensitive to the Holy Spirit that indwells you and occupies you, because He knows the mind of God. And the second thing is that He will share the mind of God with us. Romans chapter 8 is a very powerful chapter. Let me read verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I stood next to Irene yesterday, and her chin was barely moving when it seemed that she was trying to talk to me. How do you pray? Every time I've seen her and go to the nursing home to see her, I never leave without praying. And I never go in that we don't hold hands the whole time. And we've prayed for her through so many things. She told Sonia and I a few months ago when we were there together, she said, I'm going home in 2 months. You see, she had an open sore on the heel of her foot that wouldn't heal, and she's literally been bedfast for over a year now. If she wanted to stand up, she couldn't have stood up. You know, we prayed for healing for her then. The doctor that met me in the hallway said, we don't know how long, Pastor, but it's not long. I dare not pray for healing at that moment. The Spirit of God knows how to pray. Listen, have you ever, and you don't have to respond to me this way, but I'll tell you, I have been there. Have you ever stopped to try to pray and you didn't know how to pray? Has there ever been a burden on you so heavy you couldn't word the mouth? You couldn't get words out of your mouth to pray? And you didn't have any idea what words to use, and you sat there and you got Heavenly Father out of your mouth, and then you're overcome with burden and emotion and you don't know what to say? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession. When I don't know how to pray, He does. And when I can't get the words out of my mouth, He goes to the throne of God on my behalf. So be sensitive. Look at B in verse number 6. Be submissive. The Spirit of God will do in our lives is make us more submissive to the Father. And again, prayer is not about getting what you want. Prayer is about getting us into God's will. 1981, I found a 1969 Chevy Camaro. SS Krager's on the back about that wide. Every teenage boy's dream. It needed some work. It wasn't a show car. I convinced my dad to go look at it with me. We went and looked at it, and he said, I don't know. Now, I needed him there because I didn't have the $600 needed to purchase it. I had some of it, but not all of it. I needed the banker to go with me. And he said, no, I don't think this is. I wasn't real happy with him. $396 in this thing. You ladies say, what's that mean? It's fast. 4-speed transmission in the floor. Worth about $70,000 today. Thanks, Dad. But he said, it's not good for you. And you know what I know now after some experience of watching kids? It wasn't good for me. I had no business with a car like that. With my uncle a few weeks ago, and he said, I got a car for sale. I said, what is it? He told me what kind of Camaro it was. I said, well, where'd you get it? He said, I bought it for Josh, but I had to take it away from him before he killed himself. Listen, God knows what's good for us and what's not. So when we're sensitive and we become submissive, and when He says no, we don't get angry with Him. We begin to come into will with Him. Notice, if you would, see, and we're moving along quickly, be steadfast. Part of achieving victorious prayer life is learning to stand against the devil. Do you realize this? Prayer is war. Now listen to what I'm going to say. You got to listen all the way through. You know the devil doesn't mind you being in church tonight. And the devil doesn't mind you memorizing scripture. and doing spiritual things. He doesn't mind you doing those things. But he hates it when you pray. I find it amazing that in Ephesians chapter 6, you know the chapter? You know what's there? It tells us to put on the whole armor of God. Now, you remember what all those pieces were? We're not going through those tonight. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against who? The devil. It's amazing that that is in found in verse number 10 through verse 17. But after you've got it all on, you're carrying all of that, all of the armor. Listen to what verse 18 says on the heels of that. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So on the very heels of saying, put on the whole armor of God, the helmet, the feet, the breastplate, the shield, all of these things, the sword, on the heels of that, when you got it all together and you're ready for battle, then pray. Why? I'm going to tell you this. The devil doesn't want you to pray. I want you to raise your hand on this. You ever stop to pray and the devil stops? You start to pray and the devil stops you. Anybody had that happen before? You ever start to pray and the phone rings? The dog goes crazy. The kids go crazy. All sorts of things. Listen, the devil does not want you to pray. How many of you have seen the movie War Room? I don't suggest, I don't recommend a lot of movies, but I will tell you this. I've watched it. I recommend it. Because there's such truth to it. Because the warfare that we're in, prayer is war. And so be steadfast, C. D, verse number 8. Be separated. No man can come to God with dirty hands, a divided heart, and a double mind. And so we're told when we come into the presence of God, if we're going to have victorious prayer, there are some things that we need to be separated from. We need to make sure that we're right. Victory in our prayer lives depends and demands that we come clean when we come into the presence of God. Verse 9 and 10, be sincere. The point of the verses here is that we need to take this matter of prayer very seriously. Now, in the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 32, there's a man by the name of King Hezekiah who's there. And there is a man by the name of Sennacherib who is coming against him in strong battle. And he begins to attack. He attacks Hezekiah on his beliefs. He attacks him on his faith. And he attacks the Lord. I want you to listen to what the verse says in 32 verse 20. And for this cause, Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed and cried unto heaven. When Sennacherib was pouring out all that he could pour out, he was a very powerful man. When he began to attack their faith, attack their spirit, attack their Lord, and they had no way to stand against him, they stood sincere. At that moment, they prayed and cried unto heaven. James chapter 5, verse 16 through verse 18, you're a page away. You can flip over there if you so choose. Notice what it says here. Elias was a man subject unto like passions as we are. Basically saying to us tonight, Elijah is no different than you and I. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth for the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again. And the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, we can't go all the way into Elijah's praying tonight because our time is gone. But suffice to say, having read this verse, Elijah knew how to pray effectual prayers, fervent prayers that availed much. Now, we were given tonight, when we came in, we're given that prayer list. My word, the needs that are there tonight, the spiritual needs. We're praying for the service for Irene. We're praying for her kids. If you were ever around Irene much, and I had been, and for the last 4 or 5 years, I don't know how many times I have given her verses and done research on the Mormon church because she has a daughter who's a Mormon. And Irene's heart was breaking for her. preacher, how can I talk to her? And I don't know how many scores of pages of verses and notes and things that I've given to her over the years. Now, Friday morning, she's going to be in this room, in this auditorium. I want you to pray not just for comfort and peace for the family. I want you to pray for conviction. There are so many needs. Gail told me today on the phone. She said, we've come to tears. I've come to tears today because my sister's a Mormon and she wants a funeral service with some Mormon flair to it. I said, you got the wrong preacher for that one. I'm doing what Irene told me to do for the last 3 years. Nathaniel Inslee's mother's on our prayer list tonight. She's facing surgery Friday morning at 10 o'clock. I'm not going to be able to be there. I'm going to go up a little bit later on. Disenchanted with church. Hadn't been to church in years. Nathaniel is 3,000 miles away. There's a lot to pray about, folks. But not just flippant prayers. Prayers that avail much. Is that what our prayer life is all about? If you are going to be a blessing to me, and I'm going to be a blessing to you, and we're going to be a blessing to others, God can use our prayer life if we follow through and watch, because we want to pray victoriously, not repetitiously. So listen to yourself pray and see if adjustments need to be made. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the evening. Help us now as we come before you to recognize